thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Gladiator is a little bit alien to us today, unless you've seen the film Gladiator or something like that. But when Paul wrote to the Galatians, and when he wrote about the armour of God or the weaponry of God, it was very much a real thing in those days. It was an understandable thing so that people could relate really, really easily to it. So we perhaps maybe don't relate just as well, but hopefully tonight when we look at God's word, we'll get maybe a slightly better understanding of it. And so if you're with us this morning, or if you caught up on the podcast, or even if you didn't, you can still do that at some stage on our website, you'll know that we spoke about putting on God's wardrobe. And of course, the challenge was for us this morning that we would endeavour to live better Christian lives, that we would open up, the wardrobe, the spiritual wardrobe of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to put on, like patience and love and goodness and kindness, and there was a whole list of things. And that would enable us as Christians to live right for the Lord, or to live better for the Lord, to live right with our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and also towards the world, towards those who as yet don't know the Lord. And tonight, kind of following on from this theme a little bit, I suppose, is putting on God's weaponry. And what we said this morning was that before you put on the weaponry or the armour of God, you really need to put on the wardrobe. You need to have your heart right. You need to have your life right. And so tonight is the challenge for us to live a victorious life, that we all do spiritual warfare, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not. But you actually are, if you're a child of God, you're engaged in a battle tonight. Many of you will be aware of that. Many of you will already be battling various things and situations in your own life. That could be health, it could be family, it could be perhaps a mental illness, it could be financial, it could be circumstantial, it could be a number of things. It could be just that you're having a hard time being a Christian, maybe in your work or in your family or wherever you are. You know, we are engaged in a battle, whether we like it or not. And so tonight, hopefully, we will, when we have a wee look at the weaponry or the armoury that is ours at our disposal, that we will dress ourselves in this weaponry. And so, yes, our title, Putting on God's Weaponry. I don't know if you've ever had a flat tire. Anyone had a flat tire in their car? Quite a few of us, probably most of us that drive, probably those who haven't put their hands up, maybe don't drive. Well, I got a slow puncture about 2 weeks ago. So in my car, it actually brought it up in the dash that I had to go to the nearest garage, so which I did. And one of the tires, the front right, that would be the driver's side, was deflated a little bit, and the guy pumped the tire up, and then he checked the other tires and he got everything sorted. And I said, how much do I owe? He says, you owe me nothing. I said, you're a decent fella. He says, I know. He didn't actually. And that was fine. That was Tuesday, a week ago. And then last Monday, we were kind of driving around the coast, and guess what come up? The same wee sensor. Go to the nearest garage. Well, of course, we were what, Ballycastle? No, no tire man there. Ballantoy, less of a chance. Portrush, couldn't find one. You googled all these things and it showed that there were people, but it must have been maybe historically that they were there. So anyhow, headed into Coleraine, and of course it was a slow puncture. There'd been a nail in the tire. So we had to get it sorted, we had to get it plugged. And I'm just wondering tonight, have you ever felt deflated? I would imagine, again, if we're being honest, every one of us at some stage have felt deflated. And I don't know behind the smiles tonight, because we're all good at smiling. We're all good at putting the mask on. All the ladies are good at fanning themselves at the moment because it is so warm. But we are good at putting that little smile on our faces. Perhaps there are some tonight and you are actually feeling deflated. Now, there can actually be a number of reasons to actually feeling a bit down like the tower, to feeling a bit deflated. And some of them can be very, very simple and can be simply remedied. Sometimes it's tiredness. Sometimes it's just tiredness. It's just lack of sleep. It can be lack of energy. It can be lack of food, improper diet. It can be not enough exercise, says he. It can be the busyness of life. It can be situations or circumstances that press in on us and pressurize us. It can also be not spending enough time with the Lord. Sometimes if we're not walking as closely with the Lord as we should, maybe we're just feeling a little bit deflated. So there can be a number of reasons why we can just feel a little bit down, like that tower. It can be one of those, it can be some of them, or it can be none of them. It could be that it's the spiritual battle that we're engaged in, and the opposition and the oppression of the enemy, because the enemy is constantly oppressing us, pressurizing us, attacking us, often subtly. And that is why we need to put on God's weaponry. So will you turn with me, please, to Ephesians 6. I think I said Galatians earlier, but it's Ephesians 6 and verse 10. I'm going to read it through to verse 20. And we're going to have a wee look at what the weaponry is. The subsection of my Bible says the whole armour of God. So that one word of whole, whole, is very, very important, that we actually endeavour to put on the whole armour of God rather than just bits and pieces. And so Paul, writing to the Ephesians here in verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness," we sang about that earlier in one of the songs, "having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me," says Paul, "that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And so we have there the list that you probably are aware of, and you heard in the video, the armor of God. See, some Christians see themselves as the underdog when it comes to spiritual warfare. See, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, the size of the fight in the dog. I remember one time years and years ago, I think I was a teenager, going around to visit a friend of mine. He lived in the countryside, and knocked the back door, could hear dogs barking around the yard. The dogs came, there was a big dog and there was a wee dog, and I was keeping an eye out for the big dog, and the wee dog came and nipped my heel. I'm sure it's happened to you as well. Maybe it doesn't happen with Yvonne Mark whenever she's got all those dogs and all there. And so it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. So how big is the fight that we have? See, in ourselves, we are no match. We absolutely are not any match at all for our enemy. That's very, very clear. We've got to put that straight. In and of ourselves, we are no match for the enemy of our souls, but in Christ we are more than conquerors. And even though we are in Christ, for those of us who trust the Lord and follow him and have named him as our Savior, and that's a totally secure place to be, Paul was writing to the church, he was writing to believers, and he still recognized the need for us as believers to put on the armor of God, even though the Word of God says that we are more than conquerors. And so we need to be shrewd and we need to be wise, and we need to put on God's weaponry so that in the day of battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, that we can stand victorious. Now, I know that some of you are into your sports, some of you are into your football and rugby and tennis, which I think is on at the moment. Not sure the Brits are doing all that well at the moment. But a shrewd football manager, Mark Miller will know this because he loves his football, before he sends his team out to play against the opposition, he will study the performances and weighs up the opposition so that he will know their game. Both he and his very well-paid players will sit together. They will often watch videos of the other team at play, and they will consider what weaknesses and what strengths they have. What they're like at set pieces, what they're like at defence, whether it's weak or strong, if they're a threat in the air, if their keeper is sound, etc., etc. And they will adjust their game accordingly. They will hone their skills on the training ground so that they will be able to beat the opponent or the opposition on that day. Also, when you consider a seasoned boxer, doesn't go into the ring unaware of his or her assailant. It's so important that they know whether their opponent is an orthodox fighter or whether they're perhaps a more difficult southpaw, whether that person has a long reach or a strong chin, whether he or she has stamina to go the distance of the brutal 12 rounds, the 12 three-minute rounds, or whether the boxer needs to go out and in the first or second round to actually knock out their opponent cold. Likewise, no army general wages war with the enemy without counting the cost. Again, it's biblical. Without knowing the size of the army of the opposition or the strength of its arsenal, whether it has more superior weapons than they, and what the terrain is like, and the logistics in the battlefield. Put simply, are they in a position to defeat the opposition? If so, then they enter into the battle with their foe, and if not, then peace negotiations will commence. You see, the battle is often won in the operations room. It's where the tactics are discussed, strategies are considered, and plans are made. And can I say this? That our spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in, is often won in the operation room of prayer. It was a man called Sun Tzu, T-Z-U, who was a Chinese general, a great military strategist who lived in the 5th century, now that's quite a long time ago, who is credited for being the author of this work called The Art of War. And he said this, if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but you do not know the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb or you will lose in every battle. Wise words spoken well over 1,000 years ago. In fact, 2,500 years ago. It's vital that we know the enemy. It's vital that we know who we are fighting against. And if not, then we're in big trouble if we don't know the enemy. If we go into battle without counting the cost and without knowing who and what is our arch enemy, then it's a recipe for disaster. You see, it's only a fool who would enter into a conflict without the foreknowledge of their opponent, as we have already said. It's only a fool who would do that. So, folks, let's not be foolish. in our daily lives. Let's be aware of who our opponent is. You've heard the saying before, I'm sure, that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We need to put on the full armor of God. Going back to the military analogy, no active soldier today would dare enter the battle zone in civvies just dressed like you or I, unless they had a death wish upon them. No active soldier would just wander into the arena of the battle without the protection of the whole armor that the Ministry of Defense, the MOD, would supply him or her. It would simply be courting disaster. It would be sure and certain death for that soldier to do that. And so, how much more in the spiritual realm do we need to be clad with the armor of God that has been freely given to us? For we cannot fight this battle on our own. If we go in our own strength, we go unprepared and unprotected, then we are in trouble. See, the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10, it says this, says that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for pulling down strongholds. The NIV says it actually demolishes strongholds. I want to tell you this evening that our God is in the demolition business. He is in the demolition business. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down or the demolition of strongholds. We have the authority to totally demolish anything that raises itself up or exalts itself up against God. Another beautiful verse in 2 Peter 1 and 3, by his divine power he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And so scripture tells us that we are fully equipped to take on the enemy because we go in the mighty name and in the divine power of our almighty God. We in and of ourselves, as we've already said, are no match for the enemy of our souls. But in and through Jesus Christ, he is no match for us. It was Paul again who spoke to his young protege, his young disciple Timothy, and he said this, and this is something that I think we need to remind ourselves about. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to picture for a wee moment that if somebody steps out of a car to stop someone else in a car, the likelihood is that that driver will drive on. However, if that same person steps out of the car and puts on their policeman's uniform, and maybe some of you have had that, and puts their hand up, you'd be a fool not to stop. You would stop for sure. So what's the difference? It's the same man. He gets out of the car and he's dressed in civvies. He puts his hand up and you probably think he's waving at you. He gets out of the car. He puts his police uniform on or his jacket on, his hat. He stops. He puts his hand up. You stop. The difference is that the second time round, this man stands in the authority of the full force of the law, which the uniform that he's put on has bestowed upon him. It's not his authority. It's not his power. It's the power and authority of the law of the land that he stands behind, that he represents. He represents the crown. He represents the power of the force, of the police force. Word of God again in 1 John 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm quoting you verses that I can guarantee that probably 98 or 99 or 100% of you know. But it's interesting that one of the pieces of armor, and we're going to look at it shortly, is the Word of God. And that's why I've quoted it so much this evening. Because in our spiritual warfare, in our spiritual battle, we need to be able to quote the Word of God when we feel deflated, when we feel down, when perhaps the enemy is oppressing us. And so as we've quoted, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Good News translation, we don't often hear that today. It was quite popular a few decades ago when I was young. It says this, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. I wonder tonight, what are you facing tonight? In your own life, what are you facing? What are you battling? See, whatever it is, you can be an overcomer. And if you are a child of God, you can be victorious because you have as your heavenly Father, he is your heavenly protector. Your Savior has it all sorted. Abba, Father, is in control of each and every situation that you face. And he gives you the power to come out the other side. And yet, we have to fulfill our end of the bargain. We have to fulfill our part of the deal. It was George Washington, one of the greatest of America's presidents, who said this, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small numbers formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. Just repeat that. Discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small numbers formidable. Procures success to the weak. That's discipline. And we need to exercise discipline when it comes to the armor of God. We need to put on the whole armor of God. It's no good leaving it in a heap or putting part of it on. And so we'll just briefly run through. We're not going to take time to dig into each of the six elements, but rather, again, it's the principle of what we want to establish in the Word of God. But first of all, tonight, I would like six volunteers. Now, I'm going to be very, very kind tonight. So do you see all those ladies who are fanning themselves? I wouldn't for the world have you to come up and put that big jacket on. Or would I? Like, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? Right, Dean, come on ahead. Give Dean a big round of applause there. See, Dean, I saw you had the shorts on earlier and I thought, you know, I didn't get the memo, so it wasn't fair.
This isn't fair, Paul.
This isn't fair, it's definitely not. There you go. Will you button it up or not? No, okay. Right, I need another volunteer. Right, where are the young people? Abigail? Kirsty? This isn't too difficult. Come on ahead. Come on, show our appreciation to the girls. Just you two stand over. Now, that's not the biggest shield in the world, but you'll have to make do. And that sword, do you want to try it out there, maybe, do you? No? Oh, go on. Stab her. The pastor's inciting violence. Right, what have we next here? Now, I need a wee thin waist here, Wes. There's no sense bringing you up. Drew. I think you're going to have to put it under the belly. He's breathing in. As long as you don't faint. Now, who would like to put a helmet on? Is there any volunteers right now? Any volunteers? No? Connie? No? Joseph! Ah, come on, Joseph. Come on. Give Joseph a big round of applause there. Come on ahead. I think you're going to look super, super cool. In fact, if I were you, I'd go to bed with this on you. Doesn't he look great? Right, okay. Who wants a pair of Harley boots? Who's that's ducking at the back? Gordon and Yvonne, what do you call your youngest daughter? Madison, of course. Come on, Madison. Oh, come on, Madison. I'll give you a polo afterwards. It's only been licked once. Are you coming, Madison? No, she's not coming. Who else do I have? I'm running out of...
I like this.
You're getting them. Are you coming up, Madison? No? Okay, what about one of your sisters? Sarah or Naomi? Ah, good girl. You have to pop them on there. Oh, look. Oh, my goodness, look at these baseball boots. There's about 100. Ah, well, there you are. That'll do rightly. That'll do rightly. Don't they look well? They look great. Will I get them to stand there or will I get them to sit down? You want to take your armor off, do you? 100%. Listen, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Joseph. He's waving my belt. Thank you so much. You're all good sports. So, folks, just as we try and round this off this evening, our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, I'll explain that in a wee second, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and of course the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Each of these six elements of our spiritual armament have been graciously supplied from the powerhouse of the treasury of God. They are for our taking. They are at our disposal. They are there for us to dress ourselves in the day of battle. So just like we spoke this morning about the necessity of putting on God's wardrobe, it is so, so important that we put on God's weaponry. So as I've said before, we're not going to go into an in-depth study. Perhaps that's another time. We are running through Ephesians in our Bible study, and I'm sure at some stage we will get to it. But it's more the principle that we want to address this evening, that it is absolutely imperative that we, as born-again Christians, that we put on that armor that is there at our disposal. It is an act of our will. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword is the only, I know it's a pitiful sword, but it's the best we could do. The sword is the only element of those six pieces of the armoury that is for attack and defence. So if somebody comes at you with a shield or a lance or another sword, you can, of course, defend yourself, just like we saw in the little video, but you can also attack with it. And so it is a very, very powerful instrument in the right hands. And so it's so important that the word of God, which it represents, the word of the Spirit, which is the sword of the Spirit, I beg your pardon, which is the word of God, it's essential that we do take that up on a daily basis. That's what we were quoting scripture time and time and time again. Because in those times when you feel just that things are tough, that things are tight, that you're feeling deflated, that you feel perhaps that this battle that you're in is just, it's getting beyond you, and maybe there's nobody for you to talk to, maybe you're on your own, maybe you're isolated, there is one thing you can do. You can quote God's word. And I can assure you that if you quote God's word to your enemy, he'll flee from you. Isn't that what Jesus did in the desert of temptation? Three times the devil came to him and gave him very promising propositions. And every time the Lord Jesus countered it with the word of God, and then he fled from him. And so taking the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, so that we can cut through and we can defend and that we can attack is so, so important to us. And so we need to stand firm in our salvation, putting on the helmet of salvation. And why is that so important? It's so important because it fits over and it protects our mind from attack. And I don't need to tell you today, I don't need to tell you that mental illness is such a big, big issue today. And that's why we need the helmet of salvation. We need to know that we're saved and that we are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we stand in his power and in his name, and that will protect our thinking. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, just like Dean had that. Okay, it wasn't a breastplate as such, but again, it confers the kind of the authority of the jacket. We're talking about the policeman. You know, we need to put on that breastplate of righteousness, which is standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that will protect our heart. It'll protect our heart against the onslaught of the enemy, standing in the finished work of Calvary. We need to put up the shield of faith, which extinguishes the darts of the enemy, the shield that deflects his accusations and his lies and his cunning and deceitful temptations. And we need to strap on the belt of truth, girding ourselves with purity and dignity. And we need to shod our feet with the gospel of peace, walking in the Spirit and walking in the light and sharing the gospel, which promotes peace into the lives of those we meet. And as I've said, we need to reach out and we need to take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the sword which can cut through, the sword, the Word of God, Scripture, that can cut through and cut across the blows of the enemy and cut them down to size. The Word of God, which we quote when we're accused, the Word of God that builds us up and strengthens us in our most holy faith, the Word of God which prepares us and instructs us in our defense of the gospel, backing up our faith and proving the genuineness of our salvation. And so, as I bring this to a close this evening, because it's so hot this evening, it says in Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against us will prosper. So we have been given everything that we need to survive the battle, and we need to dress ourselves in God's protection, putting on our spiritual weaponry, consciously going out in the name of our commander-in-chief, the captain of our salvation, to do battle for the kingdom with the provision and the protection of the full armor of God. Amen. Let's do it. Let's fight the good fight of faith for the glory of God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.